Just tremendous. Thank you for that. And thank you for the readings this morning, Matthew 6, 5 to 15, and Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Just want to recap where we are. Last week we looked at this wheel that's going to become our friend for another 2 weeks. And the rim of the wheel is our Christian lives, our lives. The hub, the very center of the wheel, is the Lord Jesus himself, where the power, the life and the energy flows. As you know, if you do some cycling, speak to Tracy and Martin afterwards, they'll tell you all about cycling. The hub is where the power and the strength comes. And we said we want to remain in Christ. That seems to have been our theme for several weeks. And we said there are spokes that help us to remain in the hub. And the first one we looked at last week was our Bible reading, our Bible study, the Word of God. Today we're going to be looking at prayer and worship, service. Serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords enables us to remain in him. And community or fellowship help us to remain in God. So this week our focus is prayer. And I'll get one or two quotes out of the way before we... I'm going to quote from the first line of this book. The great need of the church today and of human society as a whole is a genuine God-sent revival. That was written in 1924 by R.A. Torrey in his book, The Power of Prayer and the Prayer of Power. It's a great book if you've ever come across R.A. Torrey. He goes on to say at the bottom of the page, our sorest need today is a deep, thoroughgoing, spirit-wrought, God-sent revival. Such revivals, as far as man's agency is concerned, always come in one way, by prayer. Isn't that amazing? Written nearly 100 years ago now, but still relevant today. Revival comes by prayer. Torrey goes on to describe revivals coming about by housebound women praying. If you know anything about the revival in Shetland, it came about because two women decided to pray and not give up. Isn't that wonderful? So Leonard Ravenhall, that famous revivalist, was quite provocative when he said, the reason we do not have revival is we're content to live without it. Well, that's sobering, isn't it? The reason we don't have revival is because we're content to live without it. So as part of our theme of setting some biblical precedents as we start a new season, I want to ensure we have some sure footing in our Christian lives, get some bearings on this massive topic. Apparently Spurgeon spoke 130 sermons on the topic of prayer. So I hope you've got a good length of time for today, when we maybe don't have quite as much time. But 130 sermons on prayer. Let's not get overwhelmed. I trust today that we're going to be encouraged and we're going to be spurred on in him, in our prayer life and our worship. I'm going to use the word prayer mainly, but it's interchangeable with worship, okay? Because really prayer and worship go together. So if we're praying, we're worshiping. If we're worshiping, we're praying, you know. So don't be put off by just the use of prayer. May prayer not be a religious activity for us. May it not become just a ritual, but a reflection of our relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Let's remember, first off, that prayer is a privilege. As somebody once put it, we get to pray. I like that. It gives you the impression, not just the impression, but the reality that it's a privilege. He says we get to pray. If we stop praying for a while, God will not love us any less. Just we miss out. It's as simple as that. You know, it's like the economy of the kingdom. You reap what you sow. So we get to pray. It's a privilege. Let's not be caught slumbering. In Romans 13, it says, wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And that's true for us this morning, isn't it? Let's wake up from our slumber. Let's shake ourselves down. You know, if we have to have a cold shower, have a cold shower. But let's wake up. How many of us know that Bible reading and prayer does not happen by accident? Now, that's not, shouldn't be a revelation to us. You know, we're not coming here this morning and saying, you wouldn't believe it. I ended up praying and reading my Bible this week. And it was pure accident. It just happened. No, it doesn't. We have to firmly decide this time is God time. This time is my time with God. But more importantly, it's God's time with me. Amen? Amen. He's with us always. But let's not just sail through life accidentally. Too many ambulances are called out on that for that basis. So it's a command. Jesus said, watch and pray. And otherwise, you might enter into temptation. I seem to remember a few weeks saying that you're not thinking about robbing a bank if you're worshipping the Lord. And that's true, isn't it? We're focused on the Lord. We're not going to be thinking about robbing a bank. Not that anybody here this morning would be thinking about robbing a bank. We've heard there in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on our armour, the full armour of God. And so many people stop at verse 17. But guess what? There's a verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 6. The sword of the Spirit, yes, the breastplate of righteousness. But it goes on, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Somebody called that the heavy artillery of our armour. But so many people stop at the sword of the Spirit and don't go on to complete the armour, which is our prayers. Jesus said, the true worshippers will worship me in spirit and in truth. So let's unpack that a little bit this morning. Take any individual here this morning. How do people in the world and in the church, how do we describe a person? What are the three elements that make up a person? Anybody just remember? Body, soul, and spirit. Great. So here we have the body, the soul, and the spirit. And I've coloured the soul as being the thing that in anybody's life will last forever. In fact, probably the spirit should be coloured the same way. But I want to make a point in this first diagram that before we come to Christ, our spirit is spiritually dead. It's one of the consequences of the fall. Our spirit is spiritually dead. So the focus of our lives is our soul. Now, the spirit is described in the Bible as the breath of God. God's life breathed in us. The Greek word is pneuma, which is where we get the word pneumatic from. And being a mechanical engineer, I like that, because pneumatic is all about air and the power of the air. And our spirit is essentially meant to govern our mental and our emotional existence. It says in the Bible, who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? So our spirit is really meant to govern our soul and our life. Hope that comes across. And but when our spirit is spiritually dead, we rely on our soul. Now, what are the three elements that make up your soul? Or three key elements that people describe? Emotions, the will, and the mind. We don't often think about it, do we? We don't often wake up and think, what's in my soul? But you're absolutely right. Three key elements are our mind, our emotions, and our will. And as I say, in the kingdom of this world, as we live in amongst the world, the kingdom of this world is essentially speaking into our mind. The prince of this world, we know, is Satan and all of his cohorts. And I've put those arrows in red because it describes in Ephesians chapter 6 the fiery darts. The fiery darts of the evil one is described. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I generally don't get punctured physically by these powerful darts. It's usually between my ears that I have a problem with these fiery darts. The fiery darts impact our mind. There's a good reason for that, because our mind determines our will and what we're going to do. And so our will then make a call upon the body, and we will act upon what we think. Are you with me so far? So that is what is going on in every man, woman, and child up and down the country who hasn't had a spiritual awakening, as it were. Now, in comes the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can all say hallelujah at this point. In comes the kingdom of heaven. You can, when you read the kingdom of heaven in the Bible, you can also read it as the kingdom of God. In it comes. And in to our spirit comes alive. Main reason, because into our spirit comes the Holy Spirit. Isn't that tremendous? Again, we can do another hallelujah at some point. But there we go. That happens. The Holy Spirit now has a place to act as the governor of our soul. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is now, see the green arrow pointing. But now, instead of relying on my own mind, my own will, and my emotions that fleet, I now have the mind of Christ. We heard it this morning in the worship. The worship was the sermon. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How on earth are we transformed? We don't go to Aldi or Sainsbury's to get transformed in the renewing of our mind. We are transformed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we now have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, our emotions are in place and we have the will of God. We understand the will of God. It says, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can read this in Romans 12 later. Then you will be able to test and approve the will of God, his good and perfect will. And then, because we know the will of God, we can act. We can bring our body and this shell into line with the will of God, and we can do the will of God, not just hearers, but doers of the will of God. That's what's going on. I hope that's helpful to us. It says in Philippians 2, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. You know, we read this stuff, but sometimes it's just good to have a visual that helps us really understand this is what's going on, folks, in our lives. So he's working in us and he's willing us to will and to act. To act is the body getting into line with our soul and our spirit. So that's what's going on. I just want to move on. And it said in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are to put on the shield of faith. Now, please remember to take all the armor with you, because what does the shield of faith do? It deflects the fiery darts of the evil one. So what happens is, you can see there's a bit of a battle going on between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. How many know that's going on? Oh, good, we're all alive. That is what's going on in this world today. You read it on the news. No, you listen to it on the news and you read it in the newspaper, but it's also going on inside of you. But, and I love those buts, the shield of faith extinguishes the fiery dart. So what happens? Click. It's as easy as that on a PowerPoint, isn't it? Click. The fiery darts, are extinguished. And notice the number of arrows going to our body are extinguished because we're not thinking those thoughts and we're not acting accordingly. Isn't it wonderful? Now, I'm just going to fast forward. Would you like me to fast forward? Just fast forward. And at some point, we get a new body. And at some point, the kingdom of this world falls away. And it says in Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I could stop there, couldn't I? It is extraordinary what is going on in your life and my life. It really is extraordinary. What is the purpose of prayer? Well, it's to build our relationship with God. But I think we're picking up this morning, it's to come into line with the will of God. I believe God's overriding desire for us is to understand his will. Why? Because any prayer that we make outside of his will is futile. It's meaningless, isn't it? It's like, he's at it again. You know, is what God must be thinking when we're praying all these other prayers. Because he says, hang on, I want you to be transformed so that you know my will. And when you pray in my will, something's going to happen. Amen? Because it's according to his will. This is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the requests. So the battle really in prayer is to know his will. That's from 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens. That's from John chapter 9, verse 31. So before we look further at this, I just want to just go through some blockers. Is that all right? Just get a few blockers out of the way. It says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's the psalmist, Psalm 66, verse 18. In Romans, Paul says, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. That's Romans 13 and verse 8 and 11 to 14. Where do we get our physical clothes from? Not a trick question. Where do we get our physical clothes from? Not Marks and Spencers. No, there's no advertising. In the morning when we get up, we get it from the wardrobe. Where do we get our... And the Americans call that a closet, don't they? I actually quite like that word. Must be more American than I thought I was. The Americans get it from the closet. Where do we get our spiritual clothes from? From the Bible, from our prayer closet. Are you with me? We need to be clothed with the armor of God. So if we're going to our physical closet, really, we need to go to our prayer closet. The Laodicean church thought they were great. But Jesus said, you're naked. You're naked. Wow. So let's make sure the armor fits. You know, make sure it fits well. I've been into some fitting rooms in some shops and I thought, cool, I didn't know clothes could fit so badly. But let's make sure they fit well. They are tailor-made for you. That's the armor of God. It's tailor-made. I don't think it affects many. We've gone through this before. The motives. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. I think most of us here have worked through our motives down the years. But certainly when we're younger in the faith, sometimes our motives get in the way of the will of God. A lack of faith. Turn with me to James. I really sometimes find it hard to say, turn with me to James, because it was the first book I read in the Bible, my home group back in Rugby years and years ago, and it still remains one of the most challenging books to me. But James chapter 1 and verse 6, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man unstable in all he does. Now, I have wrestled with that verse for many years. And the revelation I got was, remember our carnal soul and the soul impacted by the spirit. The double-mindedness is really wrestling with our carnal mind and the mind of God. And that's where we get mixed up, because we find ourselves in the way, and then all of a sudden we find God having an impact on our life. So a double-minded man. So let's remain single-minded, full of faith. A lack of forgiveness can be a blocker. This is a serious one, because it's either we have not forgiven somebody, or how many of us here have found it difficult to forgive ourselves in certain situations. Yeah. Lack of forgiveness. If you go back to Matthew 6, Jesus emphasizes it, and he re-emphasizes it at the end of the Lord's Prayer, that we are to forgive and be forgiven. We covered anxiety and various forms of disobedience, really. And I think there's idols in there as well. Worshipping idols compared to the Lord. I'm just going to go back. Hopefully. There we go. Let's keep something positive on the screen. I suddenly thought during the worship time, crumbs, if I leave the blockers on, they'll all walk out. So I thought, how can I get back to something positive? So how do we pray? First of all, do we pray to the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? All of them. Yes. Good. The primary call that Jesus makes is our Father. He prayed to his Father. We're his contemporaries. We pray to our Father. We pray to our Father through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you're absolutely right. If I've grieved the Holy Spirit is a person. And I want to say sorry directly to the Holy Spirit. I also want to invite the Holy Spirit to have a greater impact in my spirit. So we can pray to all three. It's very common in the Bible, though, to see us praying to our Father in heaven. I want to just demonstrate how the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are involved in our prayer. And I need three volunteers, three men, to come up and be ridiculous for a little bit of time. Here's one, here's two, Peter. Right, here's three. Right, okay. Just stand over there a little bit. That's the Father. Yeah, there's the Son. Hey. And here comes the Holy Spirit. Okay, brilliant. Wonderful. Now, I just want you to give them a round of applause. Oh, dear. Brave souls that they are. I just want you to hear something about the Father. Luke 6:36. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. So, Dave, I wonder if you can just do an action that says you're compassionate, just to give us a wow. Never thought of that. Be compassionate. But hang on, just while you're being compassionate, it says the Father hears us. Do you remember we've had those verses? He hears us. So how do you just want to demonstrate hearing? That you hear people? I know. There you go. That's brilliant. Right. So you just stay there with your arms out there. We need the Son back for a moment. That's it. And you're hearing. Right. The Son. Yeah, that's perfect. You just hold that for an eternity. The Son, it says about Jesus, he's at the right hand of God and he intercedes for us. That means he prays for us. Now, can you just do an action that shows us? That's the perfect action, isn't it? Praying for us. Wonderful. Now, the Holy Spirit is also interceding for us. Peter, can you do a little interceding action?
I'm here.
You're here, right, yeah. But he intercedes with groans that words cannot express. Just groan for us a little bit. That's perfect. This is my son. That's it. Oh, yeah, that's brilliant. He's praying for us with words that groans cannot express. Now, just hold there a second, Peter, because just before he's praying with groans that cannot express, he's also... Stand up again, please. Yeah, yeah. You're making me look embarrassed now. He also helps us in our weakness. So as you're groaning, do an action that helps us as well. Difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you glad that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Because he can do more than one thing. And if they stayed there for the rest of the sermon, that would be only a fraction of the time that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working for yours and my benefit constantly. Give them a round of applause. That word, the Holy Spirit helps us. Jean, you're here. Sunantamelambani. The Spirit lays hold along with, strives to obtain with others. So the Spirit is constantly striving with the Father and with the Son to help. That is your Holy Spirit, and that's my Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? How often have we prayed and quickly fallen short of words? Let's transact with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray in accordance with his will. I've often paused in prayer just to find the word that will break the situation. Just be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. Just so you can get that absolute word that as you speak it in faith, you're in the will of God. Amen? Don't necessarily rush your prayers, as I used to do as a kid, just to get them out of the way. What somebody said once, are we organized in our prayer? Yes, but the other question was, have we agonized? I like that. That challenges my body, my soul and my spirit. Have we agonized in prayer? Prayer is linked with fasting. We'll just have a quick word about fasting. In Matthew 6, it follows directly on from prayer. When you pray and when you fast. This is good news, folks. Cheer up. When you pray and when you fast. Fasting denies our body. And guess what? Our body squirms. But because we've denied our body, it gives more access to the Holy Spirit into the soul. So that as we dull down our body, we suddenly see on the horizon the wonder and the glory of God. Daniel fasted 21 days, and the angel was sent out with a message on the first day. You can read it in Daniel chapter 10. The angel was sent out on the first day of the fast, and it took that angel 21 days to get to Daniel. That is a little cameo of the battle that's going on to hear God's will for you and I, for the church, and for the nation. It's that powerful, folks. It took that angel 21 days. It actually took the help of the archangel Michael, who is known as a warring angel, to make the way for that angel to get that message to Daniel. And 21 days later, the angel turns up and gives him the message. That was a message for the future of his people and a vision for life. What would have happened if Daniel gave up in day 20? Wow. Awesome, isn't it? What would have happened if he hadn't labored in prayer and fasting to hear the very will of God? Otherwise, life's a stroll in the park. You know, get your spiritual sun lounger out and have a laze in the sun. It's extraordinary, isn't it? I'm speaking to myself here. Have we labored in prayer and fasting to know the will of God? Powerful, isn't it? Just a couple more notes, hopefully. Yeah, when we pray to the Father, Hebrew is Abba. But please, just a plea, don't fall into what I call a trap of calling God your daddy. Some people, there's a trend out there at the minute to call God their daddy. The word Abba to a Jewish child is actually a term of reverence, of respect. It means father. It just doesn't mean daddy. Is that all right? I'm glad I've got that chip off my shoulder. Cool. Feel easier already. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. All these things we know. We know a lot about prayer, don't we? I've wanted to encourage us this morning not to hear the same sermon, but just to get something new and fresh. So we know a lot. Supplication, praying for somebody, something. Carol and I met a dear woman, Mrs. Deutsch. She was an intercessor extraordinaire. She had in her mind a huge flow diagram, and she would flow from the top to the side and down this flow diagram all day, every day, for all these people. And the next day, she'd go back and she added people on and she took people away. And this was her life of prayer. Mrs. Deutsch, she's in glory now. But when people go to glory, we miss out on their intercession. There's a gap. People need to step up, don't we, to pray for other people. How often? Well, we know we need to pray in everything, Philippians 4:4, on all occasions. So it's a lifestyle of prayer. We need to step up in the battle. It says in the Bible that the forceful men and women lay hold of the kingdom of God. It's a battle. So we need to be forceful in our prayer, not in a nasty or a malicious way, just forceful. Take hold of the things that God wants to take hold of. Use the scripture. Pray in the spirit. And pray with your understanding. In other words, your spirit. Now you have the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the spirit. And also pray with our understanding. So sometimes the Lord does give us a language and we pray in that language, but also pray with our understanding in the soul as well. Praying in the spirit. And don't use vain repetition. I think we've got the message now that we really want to hold the the word of God and the will of God in our lives. And just finally, just a note while we're in the topic of prayer about public prayer. Is that okay? Public prayer. When we're together as a congregation, we want to honour the Lord and we want to honour his word. We want to weigh words that come to you as individuals. If you have a word and you believe it's from the Lord and you've tested it, it's not just for you, you know, if it's something like stop sinning, just check it's not you first before you bring it to the church. But as you weigh God's word, bring something. If you're not sure, the easiest thing to do is go to a leader and just share it. I think this might be for the church. So we want to honour, and I want you to know that as leaders of the church, we want to honour the word of God. Amen? The Lord may well speak to you even in the watches of the night. And give you a word. So may we grow in prayer. Amen. Amen. May we continue in prayer, not just on our own, but with other people. Sometimes there's two people. I remember taking a friend of mine to, I said, look, I think we just got to pray. And I remember we just went to our little prayer room we had. And he was playing the guitar and I was praying. And within 30 seconds, we were doubled up in the agony of prayer. Not a painful thing, but just the glory of God fell on me and my mate. Doesn't always happen, you know, but it did then. And we were just doubled up in sheer delight that God had visited us, strengthened us, given us his life and his word. Let's remember to pray before we come to church, prepare ourselves before we go to small groups, team leaders praying. May there be a river of prayer through this church. Amen. Amen. May there be a river of prayer. Let's just pray and we'll...